Well, after 27 years of service, 14 of those as CEO, Mary Kennedy is resigning from the Mid-America Arts Alliance. An ardent supporter of the arts, Kennedy has said of her time with the Alliance, "As a kid, I benefited from the generosity of others, making the arts accessible to me. And I have loved doing the same for others through my work at the Arts Alliance over the years." Before her last official day on the job arrives this month, we invited Mary in for a chat, and she joins me right here in the studio. And so nice to have you. Welcome.
Nice to be here.
Congratulations on the retirement.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, tell us about being that kid who benefited from the generosity of others, Mary, and what was your exposure to arts when you were a kid and growing up?
Well, as a kid, you know, I grew up in a really tough neighborhood, and the arts were really my way out. Wow. And so there were so many programs.
And where was that?
Topeka, Kansas.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, and there were just so many programs that were available to me. And I just found, I just found those moments to be where I really came alive.
Do you recall one of them or one focus back then that really captured you?
Well, I took dance lessons as a kid, and as I said, you know, I came from a sort of a poverty area, and my parents made sure that each one of the kids had access to some form of the arts. So my brother played the flute, and I did tap dancing, and and so it was valued in my family.
Oh, that's great. You pursued both a bachelor's and a master's degree in art. What was your academic focus?
I'm primarily a photo historian.
Mm-hmm.
So before I came to Kansas City, I worked at the Amon Carter Museum in their photography department and did a couple of publications for them. And
that's down in Fort Worth, right?
Yes.
You know, you had what sounded to some like, you know, some pretty nice jobs in your life: Kansas Arts Commission, the Amon Carter Center, a museum in Fort Worth, teaching at Texas Christian University. What was so attractive about the Mid-America Arts Alliance that made you want to settle in there for as long as you did?
I think initially it was because I was going to be able to curate a number of exhibitions. And I went into art history because I loved the exhibition experience, and then found, once I was in the museum environment, that was really only part of the work. And so by taking the curatorial position at Mid-America, I was able to curate exhibition after exhibition.
That's
and ended up curating 40 of those.
Yeah.
But I love the mission of Mid-America. I loved what we were able to do for people. And, you know, it very much aligned with my own desire to make the arts accessible to people.
Well, I should point out, you're stepping down. Maybe the word retirement might not be the right word. Do I have that right? Retirement what it is?
Who really retires anymore, right?
That's the truth.
Well, I am starting a consulting firm and hope to be able to work with lots of organizations in Kansas City and all over the country.
What do you want to do with it?
You know, I've obviously, after 27 years, you know, I've gained a lot of experience and skills, and so my desire would be to really make those other organizations operate as effectively as Mid-America has.
Do you find it to be a challenge that arts organizations sometimes aren't run as efficiently as maybe they could be? Because they're run by arts people and not business people in many cases?
Well, I'd probably disagree with that.
Do
slightly.
You?
Yeah. I think, you know, I think any time you're operating in an undercapitalized environment, it's going to be difficult to really do the best practice of everything. So I think, you know, arts people are really resourceful and they make the most of what they have. I think sometimes there's so little time to step back and to be able to really think strategically that, you know, they're just trying to keep the lights on, when if they could step back, think about what they're doing, and go after some things strategically, they might be able to be more successful.
That's interesting. So you need to coach people to do that, to step back a little bit and take a second look?
I think so. I think, you know, asking some tough questions. And, you know, a lot of times people think this is really a function of the CEO, but it's really about the governance. The board that's overseeing the organization ultimately has the fiduciary responsibility. So they're the ones who set the strategies for the organization.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, having the CEO and the board on the same page and really able to envision a future for that organization that's ambitious but realistic, I think, takes time and some thought.
This notion that the arts are undercapitalized, that's been a sort of a standard for forever, right?
Mm.
Is that changing?
No.
Will it ever change?
I don't know. I suppose. I think that it's often the first item that's discarded, either for public funding or, contributed income. And yet people who are passionate and see the difference that the arts make in people's lives are willing to commit resources to it. So I hope that it'll change. I mean, I've spent 27 years trying to make those kinds of changes. And I know I have lots and lots of colleagues all over the country that have done the same.
I'm visiting with Mary Kennedy, who's stepping away from the Mid-America Arts Alliance after 27 years of service, including 14 as CEO. You know, the Arts Alliance came to the Crossroads District as it was becoming a destination place for locals and tourists. What was it like to watch it become such a recognized part of Kansas City in that area?
It's fantastic.
I bet.
It's fantastic. And a lot of that credit goes to Susie Aaron, who had a vision for the Crossroads and was very welcoming to all kinds of people to come in there and make things happen. And I think it's a fantastic part of our city.
How well did your organization fit in there then? It must have been just like hand in glove, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it was interesting because we had been located on the 7th and 8th floor of the Union Carbide building downtown and had a virtually non-public appearance in Kansas City. And then when we bought the building in the Crossroads, we immediately became a fixture of the Crossroads. And I think for good reason. You know, until the Kauffman Center came in there, we were the largest employer in the Crossroads, and we hosted public concerts and exhibitions, and I think we helped to anchor the Crossroads.
What kind of attention did that bring to the Arts Alliance being located where you were?
It was tremendous.
I bet.
Yeah, it was tremendous.
Beats the 8th floor of the Union Carbide building. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was interesting because we were doing the same work that we had been doing all along, but when we made our presence known in the Crossroads, it just gave us a kind of credibility and connectivity that we hadn't had in Kansas City mm-hmm. prior to that.
Once the Crossroads blossomed, your organization came up with Live in the Crossroads. What was that event and whose brainchild was it?
I guess it was mine. You know, when we came into the Crossroads at that time, this would have been 2004, there were lots of commercial galleries for visual arts, but there was virtually no performing arts activity in the Crossroads at that time. And so we had money from the National Endowment for the Arts that we had some requirements to spend in a particular way. And so we elected to begin a series of public concerts that were available to anyone free of charge. And I think it became a huge draw for people to the Crossroads.
Yeah.
It was very family friendly, so lots of strollers in our parking lot. And we were able to draw from artists all over the country because of our connectivity with artists and arts organizations. So we were able to bring things to Kansas City that maybe wouldn't have been here otherwise.
And it wasn't only live performance, was it?
We also have done videos, film. We've also hosted local groups, like we did an outdoor concert with the Kansas City Ballet, which was hugely popular. I when we started doing them, we were thinking mostly in terms of music, and then we integrated dance. And I did not expect to get the kind of response we did from all kinds of modern dance. One of my favorite moments was we had a company out of Oklahoma City who was performing, and it was very contemporary dance, and I had no idea what the response would be. It was so crowded. People were standing on top of cars to be able to see the stage. So it was amazing. Yeah, it was fantastic.
When you became CEO of the Arts Alliance in 2002, Mary, did you already have ideas for what the organization could do in the 21st century?
I knew that we could expand what we were doing. I knew that we, at that point, we were pretty much visual and performing arts and had fairly narrow veins. They were pretty deep veins, but they were pretty narrow. And so I was interested in how we could integrate different art forms and make new kinds of things happen. The other area that we really expanded was we started doing a lot of work to help train artists and arts organizations. There are not a lot of resources. You know, you were talking about, how arts organizations function. And we, you know, we really felt like there were not the resources available to people that they needed if they were going to become better at what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've operated a number of programs all over the region to help do that. And we also partner with UMKC, the Innovation Center for Artist Inc., that we take out to other communities across the region.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a huge success. And that network of artists that now exist, that wasn't available prior to that.
I was going to say that the name of your organization is the Mid-America Arts Alliance. That suggests a lot more turf than just the Kansas City metropolitan area. Do I have that right?
That's correct. It's Arkansas, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas.
And do you get out and into the plains and take the show on the road? Is that what the Alliance does?
Well, yes, we do. All over the region. And we also operate a number of national programs as well. So we really work all over the region, but nationally. And yes, I will say Mid-America staff people are constantly on the road. Last year, I flew 110,000 miles.
Really?
On behalf of Mid-America, yeah. And that doesn't count all the car trips that we make. So, yeah, our obligation is to the region. We're located in Kansas City, but we feel obligations, you know, all over the region and making sure that things are operating the way they need to.
And the task of the Alliance is to do what?
Well, our mission is more art for more people. And so what we do is we intervene strategically where there are not opportunities available. We have three main program areas. One is traveling exhibitions that operate nationally. Secondly, we do professional development for artists and arts organizations. And then lastly, we do strategic grant making. Mm-hmm. So in all of those areas, we do that work.
So if I were to go out to Western Kansas, I would see evidence of the Arts Alliance at work. How?
For example, there are our traveling exhibitions are hosted by a number of organizations in Western Kansas. People apply for grants to us for activities all across the state. So they attend conferences and convenings that we host. So, so we have a lot of connectivity.
I bet there's a hunger in some places for what you do that is palpable at times when you see it.
Yes, there is.
It's just as you were when you were a little girl yourself.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's always interesting to me because people who are interested in the arts find each other. And so there tends to be these collections of people. But sometimes they're not sure how they should proceed. Sometimes they're looking to bring in things other than just what artists are producing locally in that community. And so Mid-America provides a really important conduit to these folks and to other people within the region that are just like them, that are wanting to do the same thing.
Is there a success story from your over two decades of work that still sticks with you, Mary, that made you think, you know, this is what it's all about?
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think we have time for that here.
Yeah.
I mean, there are just so many wonderful, wonderful successes. I think most people would probably point to the building, the renovation of the home office in the Crossroads,
mm-hmm.
and making that such an important feature of the Crossroads. So, and that certainly took several years of my life working on that project.
How have you seen Kansas City's national reputation when it comes to being a home of the arts evolve during your years of leadership here? Because you do get a sense that that's been a fairly profound change.
Yeah, you know, if I had to put my finger on something, and certainly Kansas City has just blossomed, I'd say, in the past 20 years. The Kansas City that is today is so different than the Kansas City 20 years ago.
Which from your standpoint has got to be just a hoot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And the interesting, you know, we work with 15 different metropolitan areas, and so we're looking at all of these different cities and you know, where they're at and how the arts are functioning within that community. But Kansas City really is the rising star. It's amazing. And I think, you know, probably the best testimony is the number of young people that are moving here and want to stay here. You know, I had a conversation with my son who's working here in Kansas City, and he said, I don't ever want to leave. It's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
And what is it? I mean, we're Cowtown. What's made Kansas City this home of artists far and wide and has changed our reputation? What is it about this town?
Well, you know, I tell people, you know, it's that overnight success that took 20 years, right? So I think a lot of credit goes to the Charlotte Street Foundation for advocating on behalf of artists and attracting artists to move to Kansas City and consistently supporting them. And then the artists themselves, you know, are incredible entrepreneurs. And you look at the growth in the Crossroads and other areas, you know, a good chunk of that comes from the work of artists. So, I think that's really, really important.
They just hang on, don't they? They're so committed. And so many times the money's not there and they just hang in there.
And they make it interesting. And I think that's what attracts young people is, you know, there's a surprise element. There's something always new and different happening.
We've had the expansion of the Nelson Atkins, obviously, the Kauffman Center downtown. I mean, so many things have come along during your years here that have only enhanced what we're talking about here today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Working in five states, what do you see as the greatest challenge facing the arts in the region, Mary?
Well, I have to say, I am deeply concerned about Kansas and the public funding for the arts in Kansas. And
which has dried up.
Mostly. They have a budget of about $191,000 this year. But they are not eligible for their National Endowment for the Arts block grant.
Because there's so little state funding coming
forward? They don't have
enough
money to match. It's a matching grant, and there's not enough match available. And therefore, they're no longer a partner with Mid-America Arts Alliance.
Well, how much money are they walking away from potentially there?
A little over $1 million, and they had to come up with $224,000. So,
So I'm being clear. I think you mentioned 191,000.
Their current budget's 191,000.
And they needed it to be 224.
No, they needed an extra 224.
Oh, I see. Okay.
To reach what would be the minimal match that they could provide and receive their federal funds.
So $400,000 would have leveraged another $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I feel very concerned about that because I'm watching other states. I'm watching Texas received an extra $5 million this year for their budget. Arkansas is holding steady. Nebraska has a cultural endowment, and they're continuing to grow. Missouri received extra funding this year. And so it's like an island in the middle of a sea of publicly funded entities. And it's very, very difficult for the artists and the arts organizations in that state.
So Kansas's money is being spent in other states.
Yeah. And the irony of it is that, you know, if you live in Kansas, you're paying your federal taxes, but you're not getting your federal dollars back from the NEA because those funds are going to other states that qualify for that match.
And so when people, you know, like Mary Kennedy, talk to leadership in the legislature in Topeka and even the governor's office, what kind of response do you get?
Well, I mean, it's, it's a blood from a turnip kind of thing. There's just so little money that's available in Kansas because of the tax cuts that were put in place. So it makes it's very difficult to argue for that support in general. So I think, you know, the solution is on the revenue side.
Mm-hmm.
So you
aren't getting much. When you talk to a lawmaker about it, they just sort of chuckle and say, Mary, do you have any idea how many other needs are out there that might come before yours?
I think there is, you know, when you look in Kansas, when you talk to people in Kansas, you know, they're frustrated. They're in a very difficult situation. And I will say, despite that, you see artists continuing to make art. You see arts organizations continuing to work. It's just they're really hobbled in what they're doing by comparison to others.
You know, the Great Recession had to have been tough. You know, there are those who consider the arts a luxury and often are the first to go when budget cuts come, as we're talking here. What did you see during those lean years? You know, how difficult was it for the Arts Alliance to keep going in 2009, 2010?
So funny because we started our campaign for the public side of our capital campaign and we had a maybe challenge grant in 2008.
Good timing.
So. Yeah, that was a really tough year.
Might have rethought about that one. Yeah.
it was tough. I would say that in those situations, I think, you know, the larger institutions, they can survive. They have to take cuts, and certainly they're hit by their endowments. And then the small all-volunteer organizations tend to survive. But it's the middle area organizations, those who are operating, you know, with budgets of $100,000 to $1 million, mm-hmm. because they don't have a lot of reserves. They're dependent on a variety of funding sources. And they are the ones who are working very hard to professionalize their institutions, and yet there are just not a lot of resources.
Yeah. You're leaving now. Why?
Well, I think, you know, Mid-America is really in a fantastic place at mm-hmm. this point. We had the best fundraising year in the history of the organization last year.
Congratulations.
You know, our programs are widely lauded, and I think that it's just a really good time for someone new to come in and to be able to take the organization in new directions. So.
Well, that's Mary Kennedy. She's the CEO of the Mid-America Arts Alliance. Through the end of this month, she served as the alliance's in different capacities for 27 years. So glad you took the time to talk to us today.
Thank you.
Good luck on the new venture. Hope it goes well.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet.